Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. If you spent any time outside at all last week, you very likely ran into a love bug or two or 20. And if you spent any time driving during the morning or evening hours, especially inland, the front of your car probably ran into more than a few. While the heaviest part of the season seems to have diminished over the last day or so, at least here in South Lee County, we thought we'd bring in an entomologist to find out more about these strange, frisky, intermittent flying pests. I'm joined in studio by Dr. Joyce Fassbender. She is an instructor at the Department of Biological Sciences here at Florida Gulf Coast University. Dr. Fassbender, thanks for coming in to teach us a little bit about love bugs.
No problem. I'm happy to be here.
If you'd like to add your voice to our discussion, give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Dr. Fassbender, while they seem to have diminished in the last day or so, would you say it would be fair to refer to the recent love bug season as abundant?
Yes, quite abundant. We did actually have a bit of an overabundance this season because we had such a mild winter this past winter that it just meant that a lot more of the larvae survived, and so you have a lot more adults coming out.
This is like a feast for birds. Do birds eat these guys?
Not very many, actually.
Really?
Yeah. There are some bird species that will eat them, but a lot of birds, as well as the insects that normally eat insects, kind of find them gross.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, not only us. It's everybody else who finds it. So there's not really a predator out there that's benefiting from this boom.
Not so much, no.
Oh, well, that's kind of a waste. So what exactly is a love bug? What is their nearest relative? They kind of look to me like lightning bugs without a lightning.
Well, they do kind of, but they're actually flies.
Oh.
So their closest relative are other types of what are called march flies. They live in areas where that are really grassy and that have a lot of dead and decaying organic like vegetable matter for the larvae to live on.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really just really weird flies.
I would never have guessed fly. I read that they're also referred to as honeymoon flies or double-headed bugs. I've never heard of any of these terms in Southwest Florida.
Well, I haven't heard of them here either, but these flies range from basically Costa Rica all the way through to the bottom parts of North Carolina. So you'll find all sorts of things that they're called.
Are they native here?
They are actually not native. They're native to Central America, but they have slowly worked their way over the last 100, 115 years or so.
Yeah. And then also between importing things and stuff. I mean, so much transit.
They move very easily attached to cars, or even the larvae may be in really organic rich soils and plants that are transported across the Gulf Coast.
So have you heard the conspiracy theory that they were the result of a University of Florida genetics experiment to control mosquitoes that went awry?
I have, and I also find that quite funny. And it's mostly because these are actually natural species. They, like I said, they originated in South America. No, sorry, Central America. They are.
And they just kind of migrated.
They just migrated.
They just moved. But they were not introduced in order to get rid of mosquitoes. I don't understand how that bug would eat a mosquito.
They actually don't eat mosquitoes at all. The adults are nectar feeding and pollen feeding, and the larvae eat vegetable matter, and they don't interact with mosquitoes in any way. They're even found in completely different habitats.
They definitely interact with one another.
Oh, definitely.
Quite a bit. So one industry that does see an uptick during heavy love bug season is car washes, as they cake the front of vehicles who drive through swarms. We visited Suncoast Car Wash in Fort Myers last Friday, and here's owner Craig Mazzola and a customer named Tom Foster, who had just driven down from Orlando.
This month with love bugs have been brutal, especially for an express car wash, where once you get into our wash, it takes less than 3 minutes to go through our tunnel. Our tunnel actually washes your car twice, but that doesn't make an impact on love bugs. Love bugs have an acid within their body, and as it breaks down, it has the ability to etch into your clear coat, damaging your clear coat as well as your paint. And it makes it almost impossible with machinery to remove that damage and the bugs from the front of your car. So we give it a little bit of elbow grease coming in and a lot of chemical. We use turtle wax products designed specifically to break down the dead body of the bug and remove the acid and the corpse of the creature prior to entering our car wash. We've lived down here for 5 years full-time, 12 years part-time, so we're aware of the season. This is the worst that I've ever seen it. Talking to some of the other members of the car wash community, they also have acknowledged that this is one of the worst love bug seasons they've seen and they've been here for decades. Well, I can only talk about my customers and my car wash experience. We don't use any bristles, brushes, abrasive pads to remove the carcasses of the dead bugs on the front of the cars. We use high-pressure water, but lower than 1,200 PSI, so we don't damage paint or clear coat. And we use a chemical specifically designed to break down the bugs and remove them from the front of the car. We also recommend that you utilize a good wax on your vehicle, which will prevent the bugs from adhering when and literally baking on in this hot temperatures that we've had in the last week and continuing into season. We've had people that have actually come down from the north and haven't seen anything like this. You'd never even know that their cars were white, at least the front of their cars, because they're encased with bugs. I recommend that anybody that travel after 10 o'clock in the morning and before dusk. Prior till 10 and after dusk is the heaviest time that the bugs are out.
It was terrible. It was like going through swarms. And we actually stopped one time to clean the windshield and get gas. And 5 minutes later, you couldn't even tell we had cleaned the windshield.
And how is it in Orlando? Are there a lot?
Just as bad, yeah. We were hoping there wouldn't be as many down here, but obviously.
That was Craig Mazzola, owner of Suncoast Car Wash in Fort Myers, and one of his customers named Tom Foster, who drove through quite the swarm. So they're, you were just telling me, they're out all the time.
Well, they're actually not out at night.
Okay.
They're out in the largest numbers early morning around between about 8 and 10, and mm-hmm. they're out in the largest numbers in the afternoon as well. During the really hot heat of the day, they'll usually find plants to sit on or the sides of buildings or cars or wherever to sit on. But early morning, late afternoon, that's when they're usually at their biggest.
Okay, so the reason for their name, love bugs, when they're flying around, they're coupled. That's them mating, right?
Right.
Is that like just all they do?
Essentially, yeah, as far as the adults. They do actually do play a small role as pollinators.
Oh, okay.
Because, like I said, they are nectar and pollen feeding, so they do go from flowers to flowers and spread pollen. Their larvae are also really important for environments because they break down organic matter, so they return nutrients to the soil.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of like recycling.
How long do they live? Do they live a long time?
Oh, not long at all.
Are always busy?
Right. That's why they're always busy. At most, they live maybe 5 days.
Really?
And they spend 2 to 3 of those days mating.
Wow.
Yeah.
From our research leading up to the show, it looks like they used to be even more prolific here in Florida. Have there been natural controls or not natural controls that have brought down the population?
Yeah, there have been. So generally the way that a lot of organisms work, if they are not naturally native to an area, what will happen is that over time they may find natural organisms that are predators of them of sorts. And with love bugs, it's actually been fungi. There are fungi that specialize on insects, and some of them have started infecting the love bug populations and starting to control them that way.
Like a mushroom?
Pretty much, yeah.
I know, I'm sitting here going, I'm thinking of a button mushroom eating a love bug, but that's probably not what you're saying.
Well, they're not exactly mushrooms. It's more like a really snazzy mold.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we have a lot of that here, too.
Yes, we do.
Can you think of any other flying insects that have a similar mating behavior to these guys?
Well, there are a lot of insects that the male and female will couple together and stay together. And that's in large part that male insects sometimes use that as a key to help ensure paternity, to make sure that those babies are definitely his babies. You'll see it a lot actually in dragonflies. You'll see dragonflies hooked together mm-hmm. or the male hooked to the female while she's laying her eggs and while they mate. And they may stay together for several hours to over a day.
It's interesting because, you know, I don't really ever think of insects as being incredibly bright. But these seem to be like the least bright insects in the kingdom because they just – or the phylum, I guess. But they just run right into stuff and they just don't seem to think about getting out of the way.
Well, they are – well, you're kind of right. They're really not that bright. But when they're running around, they're mostly looking for food sources.
Yeah.
So that's part of why they're attracted to very light-colored things. So white things or even yellow things are their flower colors.
Might be a flower. Okay.
Yeah.
I see that. I get that. But they come out more than once a year?
Yeah. We have 2 major seasons of them. There's one April-May and one September-October. But here in Southwest Florida, we may see them all year round. There are – They actually have never collected one in November, but other than that, we may see them all year round because the weather is so mild.
It's such a gift. That's all the time we have for today's show, but I want to thank my guest. Dr. Joyce Fassbender is an instructor in the Department of Biological Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University. Dr. Fassbender, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks to my earlier guest, FGCU Marine Science Professor Dr. Mike Parsons, during our segment about the state's new blue-green algae task force, and Amanda Naley from the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission during our segment about lionfish. If you missed part of today's show, you can always hear episodes in their entirety on our website, gulfcoastlive.org, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Our show today was produced by Mike Canary and myself. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.